Hey, what's up? How you guys doing? This episode's pretty damn cool. From Common Man Cocktails, you're going to have Derek Schomer coming up. Really cool guy. Has a really awesome YouTube following, a lot of cool videos, and talks about that. And from ComedyWire.com, we have Paul Schisler coming up. But before we get there, let's talk about the sponsors that make this thing possible. All right. Wolf Nation, wake up, live free. Clothing for those who are just tired of basically living that corporate life, trying to make their own way in this world. Wolfing it, baby. Wake up, live free. Okay. Go to Wolf Nation on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and look at some of the designs coming out for women, children, pets, adults, activewear. Looking fresh, wolfnation.com. All right. Bringing us to our newest sponsor, which we could not be happier to bring aboard. And again, that is Man Skirt Brewing. Okay. Man Skirt Brewing, located up in Hackettstown in this really cool bank building. All right. So please go check them out where they are making both traditional and experimental beers all the time. Go see Joe Fisher in his man skirt or his whatever you want to call it, a kilt. Yes. So coming up with them. Again, they got their Roush beer coming up next week called Let There Be Roush. They'll also be participating in the New Jersey Craft Beer Association event at Morris Tap and Grill on May 12th. So again, check out Man Skirt Brewing. Check them out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Another brewery, which next week you'll hear us do a podcast from the brewery. That is Demented Brewing, okay, located in Middlesex, New Jersey. A 16 taps in the tasting room, 16 taps. Every Sunday they come out with a new, delicious, seasonally inspired beer. And again, this Sunday they're going to have a Blood Orange Red IPA. Oh, yeah! Coming out this Sunday. They got two new 30-barrel fermenters, okay? So this place is just going to expand. They're going to blow up. Lots of different great beers. Go to DementedBrewing.com. Check out their mug club. And become part of the Legion. Get some barrel-aged stuff. Convenient Truth. Convenient Truth. Support independent film. Go to ContruthMovie Movie and enter the promo code Shenanigans and get this mockumentary Convenient Truth, Don Bagnato, and directed by Don Bagnato. Support him and his cause, and you get it for $6.49, people. And finally, Trivia Revolution, where they combine craft beer and trivia together. Every week, all over New Jersey, accounts opening everywhere. Go to Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. If you check them out on Twitter and Instagram every week, okay, you're going to notice that you have bonus items. So even if you come in last place, like me and my idiot friends would, you can still win cards to breweries like Demented and Manskirt and Beach House and Flying Fish and Crows and all these other great New Jersey craft beers that we like to support. That is Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. So, without further ado, have a fun time listening to this episode. Learn about Common Man Cocktails and learn about ComedyWire.com. Enjoy the podcast.
What up? This is Clean Rock One. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Oh, hi, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Had better days, but we'll get through this.
Yeah, I need you here. I need you to buck up, saddle up, strap in, do whatever you got to do.
I don't feel my usual weird self, Scott. Yeah,
at least let us know if you're going to kill yourself on air so we can really promote it, so you can tweet it before. I don't think that was in the challenge.
No, no. Do I get points for that? Or?
Yeah, you win.
Yeah.
You win.
But wait, you got to take my corpse then to...
Medieval times.
Yeah.
I'll be drawn and quartered by the horses.
Yeah, you got to pour beer down my bloated corpse.
I don't care what you do. Put me in the dumpster. Put trash in me. It doesn't matter. But welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Mike Burlow joins me. He's in a shit somber mood today, but we're going to try to cheer him up throughout the cast.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Is it all right, Mike? It's okay. You're going to make it through.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make it
through. Red Lobster's best is...
I mean,
Red Lobster! Oh, now I'm happy. Oh, my God. Oh,
the biscuits are delicious.
Oh, all you can eat shrimp. I am so tweeting them after this.
You know, like, I don't like to see anybody sad, Burlow, but I think, are you a believer in karma?
Depends on what you're about to say after that.
Well, I mean, just a week ago, you pissed someone. Some people are pissing you off today and this week, but you pissed someone off last week.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy.
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with you?
I was interested in what he did, and apparently it's no laughing matter, so...
So, tell the audience, okay? All right, I'll tell them what I think I know. So you, as always, we look for fun guests here. And you were looking for a Bigfoot, someone who looks for Bigfoot?
Yeah, something like that. Just on a whim on a Saturday, I was by myself, switching through the channels, turned on, remember the show 1,000 Ways to Die? It used to be on Spike TV.
Yes.
And the show was all about, quote-unquote, hilarious, weird ways people died. I never truly liked the show because they were kind of morbid, for my opinion.
And the show was really cheesy, too. It had that, like, I don't know if you ever saw that. It's that other tattoo that show that was on Spike where they got tattoos removed or covered up and they did really cheesy things in between.
Yeah.
By the way, Clean Rock 1, still in the Ink Master... competition, so if you want to listen, go back and listen to that.
Yeah, do it for the shenanigans, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's why he went on the show, do it for us.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us why you made this man so sad.
Yeah, so I was watching 1,000 Ways to Die. They had an episode where one of the stories was a guy dressed up in a Bigfoot outfit to scare people away from his property because he was one of those loner kind of guys. And apparently a park ranger shot him with one of those animal tranquilizers, which is apparently like the amount of, I don't know what you call it, like the CCs or the whatever they put in the tranquilizer, but it's basically 350 times what a human being should take. And that's why the gentleman died. So in between every time they do one of these reenactments, they have somebody in there to just say some fact about either the death or the story behind it.
Right.
So this gentleman popped up talking about all the sayings of Bigfoot. I'm like, okay, that sounds like an interesting guess. So I paused it just enough to look up his name, and I went up and went to Google to find the guy. He was on Twitter. And one of the things he also does, it's called CanCam, which is basically a foundation used to try to find missing people. So I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. And, you know, I'm pondering the questions.
Not missing people related to Bigfoot, like Bigfoot killed people and dragged them into the woods.
He basically has two different sides. He has one side that says we're going to find Bigfoot. He has another side that says we're going to find actual missing human beings.
Right.
So I thought it would be interesting. So I send out basically something, our general, hey, how's it going? Let me introduce ourselves. We're interested in talking to you. And I said, you know, we're interested in talking about the Bigfoot thing.
Right.
And we're also interested in promoting, you know, the side thing about missing people.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to pull up the email. There it is.
Well, let's bring – so far, you pissed off firemen many, many episodes back.
Yeah.
You pissed. The firemen do not like you. Mm-hmm. You tweeted to them. The firemen gave you the word that you are an asshole, I think his word was, or dick or something like that.
Yep.
I pissed off a shark attack survivor.
Yep.
Apparently, he was waiting all night for our call. We had our times mixed up. And now you pissed off this Bigfoot man. So let's. This is how the music I imagined playing while he... Well, he wrote this back to you, so maybe you could act his part.
For the record, it's a Canem missing project. My reply was, Michael, the topic of missing people has no place for humor.
Absolutely none.
Until you've met a family that lost a small child, you may not understand this. The loss devastates families for lives. We will passion your offer. Good luck with your show.
Passion your offer.
I've never heard that. I'm guessing.
I'm guessing he meant pass on your offer.
Pass on your offer. And I even the second I saw that, I replied back to him. You know, we do serious interviews at times, and we're interested in the Bigfoot thing, and I thought you could, you know, even talk about your other side. In a serious manner. It's
what was his
Canem missing project?
Oh, because I have an email from you that says, Dear Guy, we find missing people hilarious.
Hilarious? Yeah. That's how you pronounce it, right?
Right.
Okay.
We find the missing children absolutely hilarious here on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gentleman's name was David Paulides.
Well, I'm David. Well, David, we'd still like to have you on the show, even though Michael Berlow pissed you off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wanted to talk about Bigfoot, not about missing children.
Or at least just mention it. We don't have to joke about the missing children.
Right.
I mean, we can if we want to, but I mean, I think we'll choose not to.
I mean, we could joke about them. They're not going to hear it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they're dead somewhere.
Yeah,
so,
or like
I mean,
chained somewhere at least.
Well, how about the family laugh about the situation?
Yeah, I highly doubt these children have access to, iTunes or Stitcher.
Probably not, because they're probably chained in a basement somewhere.
So, like, who really cares?
Yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah,
I mean,
somebody's taking care of them.
Exactly.
They're feeding them.
Exactly.
I mean, what else they're doing? I mean, I can't pad them.
I imagine nothing bad. Probably like play catch at 12, go fishing in the afternoon, homeschooling.
You remember the old Dolls, the My Buddies? Mm-hmm. I imagine that theme song when they kidnapped the children.
I had a My Buddy.
My Buddy.
My Buddy.
Wherever I go, he goes. At least he better.
I had my buddy, and I think my sister eventually got Kid Sister, which was like his sister.
That was a second. Kid Sister.
Once again, girls ruining everything. They needed to have their own My Buddy. My buddy was creepy looking. He had like overalls and like a rainbow shirt and like a real bad haircut.
Basically, what was based Chucky on?
On My Buddy?
Yeah.
Really?
I think that's what they said. Because the movie came out, like I think, like a year after the My Buddies went out. Because it was a big fad.
Well, I don't know. But I guess, so you're in a bad mood, huh?
Yeah.
Work's got you down?
Work is a bleepity bleep bleep.
Well, I see that you blasted through one beer already.
Yeah, two will be down soon enough.
I thought it would be an appropriate transition here because we got a guest on the show. We actually got two guests on tonight.
Two.
So, I mean, we'll talk a little bit more later about some other things. But relating to alcohol, Michael Berlow is chugging a beer.
You were saying?
Yeah, two down. relating to alcohol, we have a man named Derek Schammer coming on the show. I think that's how you say it. I hope it's how you say it. But
David Schwimmer? Really?
David Schwimmer, yeah.
Wow. He was in the OJ thing and then Friends. Oh, my God. How'd you get him?
Yeah. But Derek has a pretty big YouTube presence. And he does these videos called Common Man Cocktails. Okay. And he seems to make basically a cocktail a day. So I'm sure he might be able to help you out today. Maybe he'll be able to coach you through it or give you a drink to solve the depression you're feeling or give you a drink that'll just end it all.
Can he give me a hug?
Maybe through like a virtual hug.
I was hoping for physical hugs.
Okay, we know. We know.
Mm. Mm.
What the hell is that noise?
Huh. Release your spirit.
What is that?
Think
about what you want to be.
What is that?
Imagine a life without boundaries.
That's the piano music. Hold on. Derek?
Can you hear me?
Oh! Hey, sorry. We had a very sad, depressing piano music playing in the background. We had the wrong channel up.
Is that what you sound like? Piano depressing?
I was like, he's really good at that creepy music.
I was wondering if somebody just called me just to screw with me.
Like, well, we did. We did, but we blew our cover.
We shouldn't have introduced ourselves. That was our problem.
But, Derek, I hope I'm saying your last name. Schomer?
Schomer.
Close enough. Derek Schomer, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. I'm Scott Brennan, and this is my cohort here, Michael Berlew.
Salutations.
So you guys hear me okay and everything?
Oh, we hear you great.
You're
you sound crystal clear.
All right, I haven't used this whole podcast. I got like this mixing board and XLRs and P40 mics and pop screens. I just don't remember how to use it all.
You actually sound very good. A lot of we've interviewed people who do interviews on their Xbox, on cell phone. So you
while
sound
doing a tattoo.
Yeah, we had a guy do a tattoo the other day. It's like while talking to us. So this is great.
Yeah, I started podcasting in 2005, I believe. So I had all this equipment. Kind of, I had to just dust some of it off.
So Derek, we were just saying that we were kind of put in contact with you. And
yes.
We were able to check you out. But Warren actually put us in contact with you.
Yeah, he does that. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, Warren was great. Warren Bo Brow, or I always mess him with the last name up too, Bob Brow, who has cannabis cocktails coming out, I think, in like a month or something like that. 2 months the book comes out. But
yes. He was on the show. He came out over to do a seminar for the Tales of the Cocktail People and created all this stuff, and all I know is I was high for 7 hours after that. So,
yeah, he invited us down to go get a drink with him. I was kind of scared.
You should be.
But, Derek, you have
you
this.
Know, you know what? This is a cocktail with LSD in it. Not bad.
It's my next book.
Yeah, I mean, it fits him well. It definitely fits him well.
But, Derek, I was able to look you up, and you have a pretty impressive YouTube following here for something that you call Common Men Cocktails, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right, give us a little info. I watched a couple videos, but give us a little info. First off, what is Common Men Cocktails?
Well, I apologize for that. So
what, us Common watching that?
Yeah, for anything that you may have heard. The show, and basically it started up as me being intimidated by opening a recipe book and trying to figure out what to make. In every book, I had like four of these things. And every time I opened a book, I always made a Mai Tai or a margarita. And it's like, there's 1,000 recipes in here, and I only make two because I didn't either have the ingredients or I didn't understand what they were or if I should buy them. So I thought, let's just figure it out, take the recipe books, open it up, and just start making cocktails and figuring out what I needed to buy it, and film myself doing it.
All right. And like, so You make these cocktail videos. What was the first one you made?
The first one was a Mai Tai video, I believe. and the second one was a margarita.
Damn it!
And they're horrible. Like, they're still out there in the internet, and they're on many websites. But I don't delete them from YouTube because I believe that it kind of shows my progression of where I started and how I got to where I am. So it's kind of like that reminder that says, don't suck like this anymore.
Yeah.
And so I continue to try and do better.
That's how I feel about our really early podcast. Like,
and then
they should totally be taken down.
You pour the vodka in the glass. Oh, shit. Forgot to get the glass.
Then you
that's what editing is for. That's what you're editing.
Then you open the margarita mix and pour it in. Done.
That's kind – it's not that bad, but my former boss had got me into tequila, and so I understood a good tequila. So when I was making margaritas, it was a really good margarita, but a lot of the videos around that series and just my – I don't know, the way I handled myself and my public speaking skills were not what they are now, which is not to say they're for everybody. I do a lot of yelling, and I have a lot of energy. So, and I don't hold back. So, some people can't take that. So, I usually start every episode usually screaming or something. So, it turns off the right amount of people that I don't want to be subscribers to begin with, because they're not going to like my stuff. So, get them out fast, and don't waste their time.
Nice. Now, do you have any background in making drinks, or were you just a guy who liked to, like, you know, like a normal dude who just made a drink every once in a while?
I have no background at all. I've never bartended. I never wanted to bartend. I still don't really want to bartend because I don't like people that much. And so there's, you know, there's a – I understand all the concepts, and a lot of the people I now know are bartenders, general managers, bar owners, owners of cocktail conferences. Like, I know a lot of people in the industry now, but – I would still, if I bartended, it would be more of a quote-unquote celebrity bartender, which is like, I do this on TV, I'm sorry if I screw up in front of you type of person. But I had no prior experience. My only real experience was just public speaking and podcasting. That was really all I had. I was a software developer for 15 years, so had nothing to do with that industry.
So where'd you figure out exactly how to make drinks? Was it just a bunch of trials and errors, or did you start reading up on books? How did you get to that next level after Mai Tais?
I didn't really read anything. I just experimented and kind of I picked things up. I mean, I've been doing this since 2008, so I kind of picked up, you know, along the way, hey, you know what, Rose's Grenadine is can you swear on the show?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah, well, Rose's Grenadine is just shit, and once you figured that out, it was, there was this aha moment going, okay, why? It, like, throughout my childhood, I have always loved grenadine. And it turns out it's like high fructose corn syrup and red dye. And there was no thing in there called pomegranate juice, which is the actual core of what grenadine is supposed to be. So it dawned on me, like, wait a minute, I could buy real grenadine and use that. And then I found out, hey, sour mix is the same. You don't have to buy sour mix. If you take a lemon and a lime, you squeeze them together, throw some sugar in there, you have sour mix. Only it tastes like actual sour mix, as it like sour, as opposed to just like this weird concoction that you get at the store that has like 180 calories and you don't know what's in it, and it doesn't even show sugar on the list. So once I just kind of stumbled through it. And then as I met people and I had them on the show and they kind of educate my audience, I'm learning through them. And then I kind of picked up the bug of reading some books, going to seminars like Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans in July. And I don't know if you've been in New Orleans in July, but you have to be dedicated to the craft to be in New Orleans in July. And every year we go there. So now I've learned properly, but a lot of that foundation was really just stumbling.
I just got back from New Orleans about 2 weeks ago. But the weather was beautiful. I can't imagine what it was like in July. Probably deathly.
Yeah, about 120 degrees.
Oh, yeah, great.
Did he ever visit Lormie Lane?
I never heard of that lane.
Oh, listen, you got to go there.
No, listen, no one has. My co-host has a tendency to sound like a ranting lunatic, and I try not to understand him, and a lot of times I just ignore him, so you feel free to do the same.
But that's usually I'm usually that kind of co-host. So.
Oh, then you two can start a podcast.
Yeah, all right, man. What's this liquor thing you talk about?
Liquor is really awesome, and the funny thing is one of the things that most people don't grasp this concept, but I don't really drink that much. So they're like, what do you mean? You must drink every night. I'm like, no. It's like, well, how do you not drink every night? I'm like, well, I have 300 and something bottles of rum. I have 60 gin, you know, who knows how much vodka. I just, it's all full because I don't really drink. I drink like right now, my drink of choice is a huge ass can of Arnold Palmer zero calorie half and half iced tea lemonade from Arizona.
You bad motherfucker.
See, yeah. he fixed that up, man. There's a video on there where he's go, you grab the lemonade and then you pour it in with the iced tea.
No. I did sort of do that. But in my defense, I did it with Mike's Hard Lemonade, and they paid me like $1,000 to do it. So whatever, you know, that's...
I'll mix anything you want for $1,000.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Including my saliva with anyone. Yeah.
You put the turpentine in.
Yeah, I mean, they wrote a check, Kellogg's wrote a check for $2,500 for me to put Cinnamon Toast together with, like, wow. Fireball and a couple other things to make cocktail out of it. So there's a lot of the simpler drinks tend to be the ones that the brands want. I don't know why, because they should know better, but that's just what they do.
So is that your focus on the show, very simple drinks? Like nothing crazy, or
it makes sense, right? Because it's common man cocktails, but that's not true. it used to be a little bit, but my idea was that the common man part was just like this guy that's going to make drinks, and I'm not going to wear a suit and tie. Because a lot of the video shows out there, people like in these fancy suits, and they've got like all this bar gear. I'm just like, fuck all that. I'm going to make a drink right now, and I want to make a good one, but I don't need to dress up to do it because it's going to taste just as good if I'm wearing my jeans and a t-shirt that says something stupid on it, like I'm awesome. And then it still tastes the same. So, you know, I try and teach people how to make a really good drink sensibly in the right proportions without being too college level, because there's already shows out there that do that. So I don't want to go down that route. I try and make it as classy as possible, but without the nose raising etiquette type person.
So you don't have any videos how you fill up a fishbowl with alcohol, basically, is what you're telling us.
That's true. I mean, I do have a fishbowl cocktail, but it does have Swedish fish in it and nerds for the bottom of the fish bowl. but that was – there are cocktails that I have to make to get the views.
Right.
And so I usually have like at least one or two a month that I think are going to pull in views. Like if I create anything that has the name Long Island Iced Tea, it's going to have 5,000 views. Doesn't matter. Mm. It could just be me standing there almost naked. It's still going to get those views because people just click on it. They're like, wow, this is awesome. Long Island Iced Tea. So I could just make a whole channel of just Long Island Iced Teas.
I think that's what we're going to name all our episodes, Long Island Iced Tea. 5,000 views. Woo!
Exactly. So, you know, and then that type of video is what would bring in the revenue for the channel over the next sometimes 2-3 years. So, yeah, I've got videos of 200,000, 300,000 views on them. And they're consistently bringing in $400 or $500 a year, just that video. So I can make another 20 or 30 that I like to, like that I enjoy and my viewers like, that just will never make any money.
That's great. Like, and how long did it take you to start? Like, well, two questions here. Like, one, to start finding like your identity, and like I know even with the podcast, I would say it took probably 35 episodes to really start feeling okay. This is what the show is. You know, like first it started off like consistently trying to be funny and stuff like that, and then it like kind of turned into more of an interview, like kind of taking the focus off of us and trying to find interesting people. So it took us a while for that. And then the second thing I wanted to ask you, how long did it take for you to start seeing a steady audience tuning in?
I would say that the kind of my voice kind of coming out probably took, you know, I would say probably 30 to 50 shows. Mm-hmm. And I was doing 3 a week at the time. Sometimes I was doing 1 a week and then 2 a week, and I moved up to 3, and then now I'm at like 7. But that helps. Like it, and I don't. I would say that even after I figured out who I was, it still continues to change every year. Things just gradually change. And I didn't really. I don't think I really started seeing a real consistent audience until probably 2010. So. That's like two and a half years, maybe 3 years. But I mean, I saw a rise. Like, it was always going up, and it was early. In 2008, I think YouTube was born in like 2005 or something. So I was producing content when everybody had those little iPods, and they're like 320 by 200 resolution, and it was just crap. But everybody had two monitors, right? Things have changed a lot. So when you look at some of my old episodes, they look like crap. Because they were written, or they were created in high definition 1080i, but I had to re-export them to this small like screen, and so they stretch now and they look just horrendous. And I think because I was there so early, there were no other cocktail shows that I would have, you know, 200, 300 subscribers, and I thought it was cool. Yeah. And then it keeps going up, and that's when I realized, okay, if I just keep doing this, something should work, because it's not just staying flat. Like, I know people that create shows, YouTube podcasts, and they're like, I've got, you know, I look at their stats and they've got like 5 listeners. And then a year later, they have like 5 listeners. And you're like, you do need to change because something's not working. So you can do this.
You've been looking at our page then, huh?
Scott, why are you pointing at me when he's talking about change?
I mean, it's the truth. If you don't see any growth, then it doesn't mean you suck. It just means maybe that you're in a different direction. You have to kind of take it in a different direction. And,
exactly.
And I saw that growth, so I said, okay, I'm just going all in. And I stopped doing all my video game podcasts and everything else and just focused right in on that.
Interesting. So you do come from a background of podcasting, you said. So you were doing video game podcasts?
Yeah, well, I used to like video games, so I created an e-commerce website to sell video games. I invested probably $25,000 into it, and it just wasn't it was so saturated with like GameStop and all these other guys that I couldn't get the sales. So I said I'll create a video game podcast and I'll try and get an audience there, and then I'll siphon them to the store, you know, because they'll know who I am and there's brand loyalty. And it just it wasn't working. So I just kept with the podcast and shut down the store and continued the podcast for at least in probably 4 or 5 years and wow. Just gaming. And then I couldn't do that anymore because I was running that and a drinking audio podcast that was 2 hours long every week. And so I had to just crop out the gaming altogether and just go all in on one thing. And it's just video games too hard to get seen because there's just so much crap out there.
Yeah, it kind of got flooded. I mean, Angry Video Game Nerd and a bunch of other shows and a lot of the classic stuff, and then the new stuff seems to be flooded in that market. When you were building your brand, what would you say was your something that you found out is like a common mistake when trying to experiment making these new drinks?
Like with the actual drink making themselves? Mm-hmm. Or the biggest, I think some of the issues I had was the ice quality I was using wasn't that great. I had an ice maker that because I didn't want to keep buying bagged ice, and the ice maker turns out not to really be what I needed it to be. Hmm. And then some of the ingredients I was using, sometimes, like I said, it was the roses and if there was any premix or whatever. And what happened was I would just kind of like make shit up on the fly. Like somebody would say something like, yeah, this is what it is. And not really knowing or doing my research. And once my audience grew to like 15,000-20,000 subscribers, I'm at like 70,000 right now.
Wow, nice.
There's a time where you get taken extremely seriously. Like people go, this guy's legit, right? I had the camera. I spent $5,000 on all this equipment. Now I've probably spent, I mean, my camera now is $5,000. So, you know, it looks very professional. So I had to kind of change the way I was presenting to do a little bit more research, or at least say, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I think. This is my opinion. Because people were looking at it going, this guy knows what he's talking about. And if they go out and they tell people something that's fact that I just made up on the fly, it makes me look bad, it makes them look bad, and I lose subscribers.
Interesting. So are you at the point where you are actually making a living from doing these videos?
Yeah, I quit my job last week.
Last week?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't say I'm making money just yet to be able to pull that off, but I've invested in making money. Like I have some money that I've been saving over the years, so uh-huh. I'm using that for the next 8 months to kind of hit a few other business opportunities, because I also want an online store where I sell cocktail gear, and that's kind of where most of the money comes through.
Good for
not
you,
the video
man.
Store because the videos, you know, last year I said, now picture this, I have 70,000 subscribers. Last year I made $7,000 on YouTube. That's not enough to live on,
right?
That's
right.
Just pre-roll, right? That's just when you see people skip the ads in the beginning. That means you don't get paid when mm-hmm. people skip. So you don't get too much money that way, but you get it through endorsements, product placement, and everything else. And then I product place everything I use on the show, be it syrups, I sell them. If it's, you know, glassware, shakers, I sell it all. So people come to me, and that store, you know, through our store, which is Awesome Drinks, awesomedrinks.com, they make, you know, that's where I bring in the actual money or have a business that grows, where I now have a lot of the bars in New York buy from us, and Jim and Nick's restaurant. I don't know if you ever heard of Jim and Nick's, but we supply them with all their cocktail bitters. So, you know, we're doing probably 160,000 in sales
wow.
through that. Now my take home is still zero because right. I've been reinvesting everything, and I just launched, or I'm launching a web, you know, an app on all the different platforms, so mobile users can buy from our store using this app, and that's going to cost me like $400 a month plus $750 to make it. So I'm pushing a lot into the investment for that, so that I can continue to make a living a year from now by growing out by spending money now.
Yeah, I mean it's fantastic. You know, it sounds great. Like it's even just you know, it gives you ideas like, you know, us coming from the podcasting world, just little ideas about brand identity and stuff. It's cool to hear, like, you know, you're branching out. You're not just doing YouTube, how you actually have product and stuff like that. It's very neat to hear.
Yeah, and we have to continue going down that road. So I've got a pay-for video series I'm going to be putting out that's taking a lot longer to develop than I was hoping. And then my wife has got into cocktail recipe creation, so she's putting out little 14 or 15 recipe books that you can buy for like $5, and we're going to be launching that in the next month or so. So a lot of that passive income, all of which are still in the same industry. So, you know, while I can be on my show and say, hey, you could buy this shaker from Awesome Drinks, you can get this recipe book from our other website. Oh, and that recipe book calls for BG Reynolds cinnamon syrup. I sell that on this website over here. And here's another way you can watch the show, right? So all of those kind of filter into each other, and I can continue to bring my fans from one property to the other and have them spend little bits of money as they go.
As you go and you make a ton of videos, what do you think going into it, as in what kind of drinks you want to prepare for the next video? Is it just what I feel like, what the trend is going on? How do you figure out your next video every time?
Well, we do five cocktails each week, and then we do some spirit reviews. So for the five cocktails, I have a recipe submissions that I get from my fans, and we've got a mailbox of 900 recipes in there right now. So
nice.
I can pull from that, but I try and pull like three a week from that, and then pull a couple other ones either that are trendy or that, you know, I saw someplace or that I know is just going to hit and have tons of viewers because people are saying, hey, can you make this drink? The Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster being one of those that everybody asks, can you make this? I'm like, I made that like 7 years ago.
Just wait. Can you say the name of that slowly? That might be the name of this episode.
You've never heard of the Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster?
No.
Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster. Sounds like something I would have made up with you saying
sounds
something.
Like something I did in college that I don't want to talk about.
Well, it probably is. It's a cocktail that was invented in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And everybody wants, and it's the way it's described
in
text. So that if you read the text and it's like, it's got this and that and this other thing. So people are like, well, how would you convert that to like actual product? And everybody asked for it. So we just invented one. It tastes like mouthwash and, you know, it's, I've never seen one that's been any good. But people ask for it. So when they ask a lot for specific recipes, I have to make those because if that's kind of like the bellwether. I know that if enough people are asking me, there's probably four or five times that number who are searching for it, and I live off those searches. So, you know, I hit it, or I use a branded ingredient like Vanique Shimmery Liqueur, which is like a Moscato vodka grape concoction that has edible pearl dust in it. So it's shimmery. And anything you make with that gets you, you know, 5, 10, 15,000 views. So, you know, I did the review and that was 200,000 views. And so I'm like, wait a minute, I can't stop with that. I got to make drinks with that in the name so people will find that. And, you know, so I do that, but I also try and bring in classic drinks that people should know how to make. And then user submissions, because when I do those and I can say this user submitted this, they're like, dude, my drink's on the show. And like they get all jazzed become like the loyal viewer.
That's cool. Now, do you do you have like, I'm looking at you thinking you have so many different drinks. Now, some of these have like really cool sounding names. Some of them sound like funny. Like right now I'm looking at one that says Spicy Paleo CrossFit Margarita.
So that's a sponsored episode. That was so I have a sponsor, Soltado, who does a spicy tequila. And it's a great product. Now, that drink was named by the PR agency. And so I created a drink called the Firestarter Tiki Margarita, which uses the same product because it's got a hot spice in it. It's built in a tiki style. And so I came up with the name. They're like, well, it's not really – I don't know. You're not using a lot of searchable keywords. I'm like, listen, people – and they've already called me out on the drink. They're like, can you stuff any more like popular keywords in there? I'm like, I know. So to me, that's not a name I would create for a drink because it's just – it sounds too markety, but I, you know, I'm not, if they're going to pay me to do it, whatever.
Now, since you do not have a background in bartending, do you get any blast back from quote unquote professional bartenders? Oh, that's not how you stir it. That's not how you shake it. That's not the ingredients I would use.
Well, the stirring and the shaking stuff, that was part of my learning experience because I was sick of hearing that. So I said, okay, well then let's see how I do that. And there have been cases where I could have done better, but a lot of cases, they're just being jerks. and there's a lot of jerks on YouTube and the internet in general, but bartenders are some of the worst because I don't know if it's because they deal with people all day and they just have to like yell at somebody, but that's their deal. They're like, no, they're black and white. It's like, you're doing this wrong. I'm like, no, look right here. It's documented in this book from 1872. No, that's not how you do it. I'm like, what? I'm sorry. You're just an asshole block. And they go.
It is pretty amazing how, like, you know, something like alcohol now, especially when there's 19,000 different varieties of different things, how, like, people will still try to call you out on, like, there's a certain way to do it. It's like, cooking, it's the same thing. Like, you know, so many different types of food and great food. It's like, but yet people are like, oh, well, yeah, this is not traditional French style. Well, of course it's not. You know, like, it's supposed to be different.
Right. And I think that has a lot to – I mean, with the cocktail history, there are people who are very passionate about where they are and what came from their area. For instance, Bermuda. I had a guy from Bermuda who told me my Dark and Stormy was completely wrong, and he said that I was basically doing an injustice to the entire island and that I disrespect everybody on the island in their history because I used a quarter of an ounce of lime in my Dark and Stormy.
See, Mike, you only pissed off one guy. He pissed off an entire country. Of Bermuda.
Well, to be fair, I pissed off Trinidad and Tobago one night, but we're getting into that later.
Yeah, you're still not allowed there.
Yeah, I love that place. Damn, I miss him.
But I've never even been to Bermuda, though.
They'll know you. There he is!
There he is, the lime
squeezer. There's lime juice, boy!
The thing is, I know what I'm doing enough that not to put out stuff that's inaccurate now. So I was like, here, it's a registered cocktail by Black Seal, or Gosling's. Gosling's trademarked this recipe. It's on their website. It says lime optional. So that's not right. I'm like, they're just marketing, and that's what they're doing they're changing the culture. And that's not, I'm like, but dude, I'm doing exactly what every bartender, well, that's not how it should be done. I'm like, well, that's, just don't use lime. Just don't.
That's funny. It's funny. We have talked to now. We talked to a lot of people that work with liquor. Now we talked to you. We talked to Warren. We talked to Russell Davis, and Brian Duffy in a way, but he's more of a chef. But all you guys have a common thread. Like it seems like that you're not taking yourself too seriously. That's definitely like what I see from at least all of you guys. Now I'm sure there's another side to it, but. It's nice to hear. It's refreshing to hear that it's like, you know, the fun is obviously still there and you obviously are still having fun with it while also making a living from it.
Yeah. And the reason behind that is that a lot of these guys there are some entrepreneurs out there. I kind of put myself in that category where I'm building an entire business, not just, I'm not just doing one recipe book or two or this. I'm trying to build an entire business and the brand is me. And a lot of the folks, Warren included, they're in it because they really love it.
Right.
And if you weren't there for the love, there's so many things. Like I worked at a corporate job. I still love software development, but I was doing a lot more technical sales and it sucked. And I didn't love anything I was doing. Yes, I was making $180,000 a year doing that, but I would rather make a lot less, just enough to survive on. And have fun doing something as opposed to hating my job and making a lot of money at it. And I think that's the core, like the thing that everybody has in common. It's like we're here to experiment and to basically entertain people's mouths and say, hey, try this drink. Isn't this awesome? And it blows people's minds. And you're like, all right, I did my job today. And you feel good about it. Like, granted, people are getting drunk and whatever. But the drunk part for a lot of the serious people in this industry is the side effect that sometimes happens, sometimes too much. when you go to a cocktail conference, you'll find all kinds of inebriated people. And it can get funny, but most of those people aren't in the industry. The people that are in the industry get drunk around 2 a.m. You know, it's way later and they're like,
right.
You know, throwing up on Bourbon Street. And, you know, that's just because they've been doing it all day.
Mm-hmm.
When you go out, if you request a drink, are you able to just take the drink, or do you find yourself critiquing in your mind or have to talk to the bartenders or anything like that?
I haven't had that problem. I know of some people who should have talked to the bartender, but everybody seems to make different drinks. And so, like, for instance, I love a whiskey sour, and I can go to the same bar three nights in a row or five different bars, and it will always be different.
Right.
So, and I haven't had one that's – the only ones that will suck guaranteed are wedding drinks.
Weddings. I was just going to say right? Wedding drinks.
They all suck. But I go in there with that in knowledge in hand. I'll still tip them, and I know that they're just working because that's what they have to do. They probably don't even know how to do this. Mm-hmm. They pour the sour mix. They throw in some, like, Jameson, and they go, there's your whiskey sour. And you're like, yeah, okay. And then I go off and do what I was going to do. If it's really bad, I'll just order something simpler that they understand, like a rum and Coke. And those, they don't screw up too bad. But I know I'm going in with the premonition of where I am and what I should get. If I go to a craft bar – and I get a horrible drink, I just won't go there again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I won't return it. I had one. My cousin ordered a Gibson, which is like a – it's like basically a gin martini, but take out the olives and put in those little onions. And, dude, it tasted like Subway sandwich. Like, it was awful. It was like they poured in onion juice in there.
It's called the Jared.
I'm like, you need – so I said, you should return this because this is the worst thing I've ever – I could smell it from across the room. It's just bad. God. He's like, so he just downed it in one gulp and went, well, there, it's gone now. Okay. I guess that works.
So, Derek, last two-part question for you. So my buddy here, he's had a real bad day at work. He's very upset, bummed out. If you can make him a drink, okay, that would not only get him a little bit inebriated, but also cheer him up, maybe with a clever name, maybe with some household thing, like something we could make right now. Okay, what would you make for him?
Well, it would have to have rum.
What was it? I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because vodka is awful. It's the worst product on the planet.
It is.
It's like, drink. You know, why would I drink spring water when I can drink beer? So I would probably go with something kind of super tiki. Usually, if I had a selection of rums, or if you're at my bar in my basement, then, you know, there would definitely be dark rum, light rum, and probably a gold and island rum in there. And build, like, either a painkiller, which, you know, which is simple for most people to make, if they have some cream of coconut, which everybody usually has for pina coladas and whatnot. So a painkiller is pretty good. You know, that would probably be the most general, a Caribbean punch, a tiki teeny, or the zombie that from the 1950s zombie, because there's about seven different zombies. And if you go to an Asian restaurant or an American Chinese restaurant, none of those are the ones. But like a real zombie from a craft tiki bar, there's the 1950s version from Don Beach is, you know, it will knock you on your face, but you won't even know it's coming.
Like nice.
So it's got to, you know, anything that makes you feel like you're, you know, at the beach, you're sitting in Mexico sipping on a good beverage that has some good alcohol in it that's not going to knock you over, I think is the way I would go. A little bit of dark rum on the top to sweeten it up.
Very nice. Yes.
He's already cheered up. I could see I could see the tension coming out of his face. But, Derek, it's been a real pleasure having you on. We'll definitely talk again in the future. But give us a little bit of what's going on and what's coming up for you, and where can people check you out and see your videos and communicate with you and whatnot?
Sure. I have because I'm going to Mexico on vacation next week.
Why you were referencing the Mexican drinks.
It doesn't hurt now. So because I'll be gone, I have pre-scheduled everything I have coming up. So I've got a few like mixer style drinks using craft mixers. The Auntie's Old Fashioned is a craft mixer that you do one part of Auntie's Old Fashioned, one part of bourbon, and it's done. And you could just create a crap load of them. The one for this Sunday called The Pirate's Death is one of the things I hate to do the most, which is a bomb shot where you take a little blue curacao and Sprite, and then you drop in a little bit of Oakheart, spiced rum, and then you down it all. And I'm very bad at doing that, but my co-host can down a drink like that in 1 second, so I usually lose. and then there, you know, a couple other kind of more tropical drinks. There's a Flying Dog Chipotle Ale and a Mango Habanero beer review that we have. We do beer every now and then. Clear ice cubes, if you want to make clear ice cubes, I've got all that on there. And then any of the stuff that you don't have typically, you could get at our store at Awesome Drinks. So it's the perfect blend of cross promotion, a little bit of inebriation, a little bit of cool glassware and bar tools. Keeps everybody excited.
All right, so your YouTube channel is Common Man Cocktails?
Yes, it's youtube.com/everydaydrinkers.
Everyday Drinkers, okay. And the website is, one more time, awesomedrinks.com?
Yep.
All right, excellent, man. Yeah, I guess that's it. And good luck with all your stuff. It sounds like you got a lot of shit going on, which is awesome.
Yeah. Get back from Mexico before the wall goes up.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want that wall.
They'll let me in. I'll just tell them I'm a web celebrity or something.
All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
All right.
And that was Derek Schomer, and Mike Berlew is going for a pee. Yes. So I am all by myself here. Mike Berlew is going to the bathroom. I refuse to stop the recorder because I can always edit this later, but I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna. Let's get a little personal here. It's just me and you. And, you know, we're gonna get a little serious here. Yeah, I just want to thank Derek for coming on. Real quick, while Mike Berlew is going to alleviate his urine problem here, I want to promote the Verbal Shenanigans comedy show. This is the fifth one. The fifth one already. Time does fly. So I got two things to promote here, but I'll start with the comedy show, which is on May 22nd. It's a Sunday at Table 42 in Dover. And it is $35 for dinner and a show. And you get to see Ken Kranz headline. You get to see Kevin Israel, who has a Bros, the web series on YouTube, KP Burke, and myself. So if you want to support the podcast, you want to support live comedy, that would be great if you came on down. But yeah, I think we are. I think we're successful right now in lifting Berlew's mood. The three beers definitely help. He's coming back from pissing right now, and I could see he looks a little lighter in the face. He looks a little lighter spiritually. He's got a little bit of a smile on. So, oh, hey, Mike. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Let me see how you doing.
You're just generically talking in the microphone, not saying anything about me, right?
No, never. I would never say anything about you.
Okay.
No, actually, I was promoting the I decided to do a mid-show promotion of the Verbal Shenanigans comedy show on May 22nd. Ba-bow.
Nice.
But, yeah.
Great lineup there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that was a good guest. Derek was a good guest. Very
much.
Fun. Yeah, so I guess... this weekend, I had a lot of comedy this weekend. I had a lot of comedy. I had a little Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Bang, bang, bang,
nice.
Bang.
Three-nighter.
Yeah. Thursday, I succumbed once again to entering myself into the good old comedy competition.
From the sigh afterwards, I can only assume you're the grand champion.
Yes, yes. Now, here's the thing, people. People, I sound like you. See, I'm picking.
Here, let me tell you something, people.
Let me tell you something, people. Comedy competitions are, how can I say this? Not comedy competitions themselves. They're not competitions on material or anything like that. At least the ones we've been in or I've been in are always basically glorified bringers. And if you don't know what a bringer is, bringers are you have to bring X amount of people. Now, comedy competitions. They guise this by saying the audience, you know, like two-thirds of the vote is audience. So what does that mean? That means, hey, bring a lot of people, you're probably going to win because all your friends are going to vote for you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know? So if I brought loaded up the car with a bunch of friends, you know, maybe I'd win, whatever. But it was up in Nyack, New York, and winner got a show at Levity, which I thought would have been cool. Now, you know me. I don't. I usually think I did okay, whatever. Now, I did very well. I felt good, at least very well compared to the other comics. Okay. Not saying it was my best, but it was a five-minute spot. So it was 5 minutes, bang, bang. So my goal was, like, to just not lay off the gas pedal. Like, to just try to keep hitting jokes.
Yeah,
like,
when you're a regular and it's a five-minute thing, that's a good item just because you can just rely on the stuff you know. Okay, this is golden, so.
Yeah, and it was like basically I said to myself, look, I'm going to take the maybe 5 minutes is five big jokes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take these jokes, I'm going to cut the fluff out of them, like, you know, a lot of the build up, and I'm going to see if I can hammer, like just not stop. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and it was like a faster, really trim set. And I did well. A lot of people... You know, it seemed well. So, of course, it comes down to the voting. Three people made it. I see the guy next to me voted for me, some old man. Obviously, my girlfriend voted for me, but I see someone else voted for me. So I'm like, all right, maybe I do actually have a chance, even in the sea of bring. And it was packed. It was like standing room, like only.
Wow.
And it was weird because the stage was like off to the right. Like it was tucked in this corner. Like it definitely wasn't set up for comedy. But anyway, long story short, voting comes. Three people win. All three of them were ones like got the loudest roars when they went on stage. So one can only assume they were known or whatever.
Now, the loudest roars when they come on the stage and off the stage, nothing in between.
No, I'm not even saying that. It's not that they weren't. They were actually the three that won were decent. Okay. Two of them I actually liked. Now, I thought I had a really good set. And in fact, a lot of people came up to me afterwards and were like, after the voting and everything on the way out, we're like, I don't know how you didn't win that. I don't know how you didn't win. The headliner came up to me and was like, I don't know how you didn't win that. You got hosed. He called me Chuck Norris because I had that Chuck Norris. He's like, you got hosed, Chuck Norris. Headliner, by the way, crushed. Kenny Garcia. Woof.
Nice.
Funny motherfucker, dude.
We should get him down in Dover.
No, that was my next thought was I'm going to try to reach out to him. He's from New York. But God, dude, he started off like real slow, like this slow delivery, but he just... He had this one joke about Walmart, and I'm doing it injustice, but I was like, I go to the Walmart with my daughter, and I go to Walmart, and we're going, we're having a daddy daughter thing, and we go and we ask for, I'm like, you got any Febreze, and you got any Lysol, blah 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 blah. A woman turns and looks at me and says to me right in my face, she's like, Febreze don't work here no more. And he's like, what? And she was dead serious. He's like, so I'm laughing in my head. He's like, well, how about Lysol? She's still working? And she's like, that's not funny, sir. Like, there's no Lysol. Like, she looked at me like I had no, like, it was, I don't know. The way he delivered it, the joke had me peeing my pants. And his delivery, like, it came out of nowhere. He was very good at complete misdirection. Like, he thought it was going one way, and then bam, the other way. But anyway. I wanted to get to, on that show, I saw the top three, maybe top one, worst Comedy Sense I've ever seen in my life. Now,
really?
We've seen bad.
Yeah.
I've been bad. Okay? I've been that bad.
All been there.
If I have ever been this bad, I should have never kept going. I don't think any of us have been this bad.
Okay?
Of course, I'm not going to mention names. One, I don't know the guy's name, so that helps. Now, so...
Why'd you write down Doug Max? It was a bringer.
Yeah. Zing! Pow!
Mm.
So before this show, I'm there early because I'm always on time.
Yeah.
I am an on-time guy. That's like a real pet peeve of mine. I hate being late. If I'm late, it's usually because of the girl. And she knows I hate. But anyway... So I get there, and there's this bald guy next to me. He's got a Cookie Monster shirt on, okay? Sign number one, Cookie Monster shirt, 40-something years old. Questionable at best, you know? So I hear him, like, talking to a guy. I guess he knew him. He's like, hey, how you doing? He's like, when are you going up? He's like, I'm 15th. There were 16 comedians. He's like, oh. He's like, I'm pretty excited about it because I like to feel out the crowd beforehand and, like, and then he goes, I've only done this 9 times, but I feel like 15 is good for me. I'm like, oh, okay. So right away, I'm like, this guy looks like a dick,
Okay.
So he goes on stage. I was 11 or 12. It was long, but it was only 5-minute set, so it really was only like an hour wait, kind of. But still
a ton. I mean, it's such rapid fire, and then in between you got to get the host to come up there. Hey, great job. Give it up for blah, blah, blah. All right, now coming up on stage.
Yeah. They should almost do like the old, I think like they call it like West Coast Way or whatever, where each comic brings the next comic up. Get rid of the host for
something. Or somebody should be like on the main mic, like not even coming up on stage.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Right. Next up.
Coming to the stage now.
But so the guy goes up and every joke he would deliver, they weren't even jokes. He would be like, yeah, my wife, she loves me. Because I got a 9-inch dick, and he'd be like, he would start clapping to the crowd, like in their face, like trying everything he said. He'd be like, his first 2 minutes of his set were, let's give it up for all the comics, and he'd be like trying to get the clapping going on. And then he'd be like, let's give it up for all the ladies in here. And he's like, you know, let's give it up. It's my birthday tomorrow. I'm turning 24. Like, everything would be delivered with a clap. And no, I'm turning 44. You know, but then, like, every delivery would be like that. So you're trying to clap. And, like, you know, people were first like, yeah, woo, you know. So then he's like, he delivers the line that I think I said it right, but he's like, my wife loves me because I have a 9-inch dick.
Wow.
He goes into his shirt pocket, like his pant line. Uh-huh. Not his shirt pocket, like his pant line. Pulls out a dildo, like a huge dildo, twirls it around, and he's like, woo, like trying to get people to cheer for him. Now, everyone's like just creeped out. Women, you want to turn women off in a crowd, you're done, because women are the ones that are like laughing at comedy shows. Men hate each other.
Yeah.
Well, men like each other normally, but at comedy shows, I feel like men think they're funnier than you. No matter. So women are the ones you want to laugh. So he's pulling out. He's like, you know, pretending to throw it at people and stuff like that. And he's like, no. Like, you know, like when you bomb and you're like, no. You know what? Then picture a guy with a dildo in his hand like, you guys didn't get this one? And like he has to like subtly put his dildo down and like try to go to the next joke.
Yeah, that's not really an opener there, the 9-inch dick one.
But everything like that. And then he's like, what did he say? Something about like... I'm feeling dark today. And he's like, because I ate 9 black girls out this week. Like, and then tried to clap. And everyone's like,
you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of like that one guy who wants to start the wave in the stadium. And he keeps on jumping up with his arms in the air. And nobody's going with him.
Dude, it was so bad. Like, I had to look at Alex and be like almost like, hold me, please. Like, I can't. And everyone had this, like, awkward, like, almost, like, please let it end kind of thing. Like, it was so bad. It was like watching someone be executed on stage.
I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm some insane great comedian, but when you hit that really bad comedian and you have either bring your girlfriend or you invite friends out, you just want to walk on.
You almost want to apologize.
I am so sorry.
Exactly.
I am really sorry. I want you to just see like my act and be excited and some good comedians.
Have a good night.
I didn't know that person was showing up tonight.
It was so bad that it was.
I had to do the same thing with my cousins on our Saturday night, but I won't go into names.
Oh, yeah.
Double front name if you get my drift.
So that was so bad. But anyway, I left a little pissed off. But then I just realized I fell into the trap. I went to the comedy competition, and this has been the result every single time. You know, like, it's always the voting, which is whatever. And I'm not, you know, like, whatever. It's just like, it's like a kick in the balls a little bit. It's like, well, like, when people are telling you you did well, like, I usually kind of don't know if I did well or not, like, totally.
Well, here's my stance on it. Like, when I asked you the next day how to go, and you kind of described the same story, I was trying to pump you up because you talked about how, like, the promoter came up to you, headliner came up to you, some people in the crowd came up to you. I mean, those are the things you kind of look at when you go to, lack of a better term, a glorified bringer in these comedy competitions. But I can kind of see your point where even when you do it, in your mind, even though you say, oh, whatever, in the back of your mind, you're still like, I'm good enough to advance. I can do this. I can get to that next round.
I'm saying I wanted to, like, I was going to go. I'm going to go crush and win. It just would have been nice to get a show at Levity. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would have been cool. And I thought, put it this way, I thought I did, the best way to summarize is, I thought I did well enough to be in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was comics there just doing every hack joke in the joke book. It was, like, cringeworthy. You know, and, like, I at least, like, I thought I just did all original shit, and it did well, and it's like, whatever.
And that's the way I
like,
kind of pointed.
The Italian guy won for doing this straight up, like,
and in our house, it's gravy.
No, it's like, I was in school, and I did a math problem. Teacher asked me, like, how many, you give blah, 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 two things, how many do you have left? And I say, three. She's like, what are you talking about? You gave away two. I say three because I'm collecting interest. We don't give away shit for, like, all those kind of jokes, like mob joke. I'm like,
boom, boom,
and, like, nice enough guy, but, like, you know, I heard it 10,000 times before. The Asian girl goes up.
wasn't George Moore?
Asian. Yeah, my mom doesn't like me because I'm stupid. And Asians are supposed to be that premise, you know? And like, oh, white guys love me, blah, blah. And she was okay. And the other guy I thought was actually good. The other guy I thought was good, but he actually had a lot of people talking. It was a rowdy place, but anyway. Friday goes. I go to the station down in Cranberry. The way I describe tech, you're like, how'd the station go? I'm like, it's a very humbling room. Put it there. Usually the audience is average 60, probably sometimes older than that. Yeah. I'm only saying average because there was a young couple in the audience, but you know, they, for some reason, they don't like me there. I just don't think my humor goes. And maybe I should have done more like relatable. Like I did a lot of divorce stuff and dark stuff and. It was a tough. I mean, I did okay, whatever, but it was a grind for sure. It was like going from one high to another. I had three completely different shows this weekend.
Yeah.
Three completely different beasts.
Yeah, when I go to the station, I think I did decent once. It's for the most part, it is pretty much go in there, practice your material, don't blink an eye to the results, or. If you want, if you're just do crowd play. I mean, it's real fun. I mean, we appreciate Mike Bonner. He runs a show. He gives us free food.
I don't appreciate him.
No,
at all. No,
not at all.
I hate the guy.
Really? You have beef with Mike Bonner?
No, I love Mike. All
right. But it's just one of those when you hit a very old crowd, it's hard to kind of talk about. I miss my Nintendo.
It was very humbling. So there was that up and down. But it was nice because I was first and I was home by like 9 o'clock. It was great.
Very nice. Yeah.
Which is sometimes great. Because then sometimes you're in these marathons that you're just like, can I go on, please?
And it's kind of like just a couple of random. It's not like a full feature and a full feature and a headliner where you got to sit back and go, well, I got to save for the headliner and say, hey, good job, blah, 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 and go on.
So then Saturday, we performed together. First time in a long time, I think, right?
Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to think of the
last. Oh, no, you did the, I had you come to the improv jam show.
Oh, but
but this was, you know.
This is the first time in a while both of us did stand up both together for like non-hosting.
Oh, yeah. We did my set. Very cool play. We go down to Flemington. It was a fundraiser for,
Kimberly
Kim Getz, Goetz. Sure. Basically, she was a 17-year-old. She's like number two in the nation in speed skating. She's trying to make the Olympics. So first off, this is a super cool room. Super cool.
Yeah.
Very
hard to find.
Arch ceilings. We found it fine. I don't know.
Well, I mean, number one, you had to text me, hey, what exactly is the address again?
Yeah, I couldn't. It wasn't on the flyer.
Yeah. And then when I took the address that I got from asking for where Stengel Stage is, I pulled up to a pool supply store.
Which is where you're used to playing.
Oh, okay.
Which is your normal audience.
Yeah. What's the deal with chlorine, everybody? The barrel's got the pH-D balance going.
Boom. pH balance, you mean?
Yeah, sure.
Not pH-D.
Yeah. Both. Shut up. I'm in a bad mood, remember?
I don't care. It doesn't prevent you from getting ripped on. We go down and we packed house. What did you say? 150 in there?
Definitely 100 range.
Yeah. I thought about 150 because it was pretty deep room. It was,
yeah.
It went pretty far back. Mm-hmm. So your cousins came out and whatnot. A couple people had good sets. I went up right before you. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had a great set, or it felt good anyway. I felt like what I'm finally learning after how long it's been, not that long, is to slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm finally, it's starting to settle in. Like, I still listen back sometimes, and I'm like, whoa. You know, but trying to let the jokes breathe. Like, you know, even if they don't kill, someone might get it a little late, and you don't sound like you're like forcing material down people's throats. So I felt very good about my set. They were a lot of fun. And then you went on. How'd you feel about your set?
I felt really good. I went into the night. I was okay going into it. And then right before, I just got insanely nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
You were like, you were Ray Lewis and everywhere.
Yeah, I was doing the pacing thing. I'm shocked you didn't bring out the phone to tape me.
You almost seem like you wouldn't even be in the mood for that.
Yeah,
I feel like
you'd
be like, stop fucking filming me.
It was one of those things, like, going into it, first it was like, all right, where the hell is this place? I had to spend a few minutes finding it, and then when we got there, it's silly. So you keep on telling me, you got a good 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20 worth of material, but when they say 12, I'm like, oh, I'm so used to 8, I'm so used to 8, so I'm pacing, I'm like, what do I do this and that? And there were some question marks about, you know, don't drop this kind of bomb and blah, blah, blah. And then it's kind of my usual thing. Once I get the first kind of decent laugh and say, all right, go to town.
Yeah, I thought you did well. And not only that, you're shaking off the rust. So I could understand the nerves. Mm-hmm. A big crowd. You know, you were towards the end. That always is like, okay, well.
Yeah.
So
I had a little crowd. I mean, I definitely felt better. Like, one joke didn't really hit, and I just kind of blew up, screw you. And like, one woman was like talking in the audience, I'm like, all right, go ahead, you know, I got nothing else better to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt good that night. I thought they really were, they felt with me. They were a fun crowd. They felt like they were with me every step of the way, which is kind of cool. But overall, that was a pretty good time. And
definitely,
yeah, for a good cause, so that always works.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, we have a double guest lineup, Berlo.
Ooh.
Double guest. So I told you a couple of weeks ago, I signed up for this website called Comedy Wire.
Yes.
And basically, it's kind of like a, I would call it like a social networking for, it's not quite social networking, but it is kind of in a way for.
It's a combination of networking with challenges.
You comment on news stories. You can put jokes up there and people vote on them, and like, it's basically a networking thing for comedians, but it's also you are able to joke and stuff like that. And very cool idea. And I've been kind of not addicted to it, but like, when I'm bored, I'll just go up and throw a joke up there. And like, you know, like in society today, if we get a like on the internet, we're like, yes.
Oh, my God.
People
like
me.
Oh, my God.
Now, did you sign up yet?
I have signed up. I unfortunately haven't had time to actually attempt a joke challenge or anything of that sort.
Yeah, well, I don't care what you did. I'm asking you if you signed up.
Oh, I didn't know that was just a yes or no question.
Oh, well, I didn't either. But so long story short. I one of the guys called. I guess I wrote a joke, and he must be part of the team on my Comedy Wire. His name is Paul Schisler. I hope I say this right. Both guys have names that.
Anytime you say, I hope I say it right, 9 times out of 10, nah.
No. So his name is Paul Schisler. He's a comic, I believe, in New York City. But we're going to find out more about him.
All right.
And I think it's going to be a cool interview because I really like his website. And their idea. So let's give them a little call.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh boy.
I'm so mad.
I'm so mad.
I'm doing this, but I'm still mad.
Holy. This can all be cut out. All right.
Boop, 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 boop,
here
boop.
We go. Maybe. Mm. All right. Yes, yes, yes.
Boop. We like it when we
hear it. How are you doing, man?
Oh, man. Is this. Let me. I hope I get your last name correct. Is this. Is it Schisler?
Schisler. That's perfect. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That Paul Schisler.
Says Paul, yep. People butchered all the time, so you nailed it.
Well, does anybody ever call you Schindler by mistake?
Yeah.
Actually, my best friend in high school, his last name was Schindler, and we always sat next to each other.
Schisler and Schindler.
I've gotten Schittler, I've gotten Schiz, I've gotten Schlischler.
Well, it's better than Hitler.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't help that I look very Aryan.
Schisler and Schindler sounds like some great radio group on 101.5.
Or like a law firm.
Sounds like a good AM radio show in Germany.
But anyway, Paul, welcome to the show. Obviously, I'm Scott Brennan, but this is Mike Berlo here.
How's it going, sir?
Great, Mike. Guys, thanks for having me.
No, this is great. It's funny like how things work. I was just talking how I joined Comedy Wire. We were trying to summarize it in a way, but you'll probably obviously be better at doing this. But you basically you reached out after one of my stupid ass jokes, and we started talking, and I thought it'd be a great idea to, you know, bring you on, especially if there's comics listening, to explain a little bit about Comedy Wire and whatnot. And so, first off, how would you describe Comedy Wire? I tried to say it was like a social networking for comics. But it's a little bit more than that, though. Like, it's not just like, hey, like profile pages.
It's such a big platform. It's how I would kind of like summarize it. It's a social joke writing platform. You know, it's honestly, it's the world's biggest writing room. Yeah. You have everyone. I mean, you take a look at late night shows. Any show has a group of writers writing jokes for people on the show itself. And the community that we have, they're acting like this big writing room together, writing the best jokes on every topic that's coming out. A lot of the time we see someone on our site will write a joke before one of the late night shows.
Right.
We keep up with the late night shows, and we see that they'll do a show on a late night show that one of our writers already wrote. So it's kind of cool to see that we have people in the community that can get to that punch first, because I mean, a lot of angles I think are shared, but it's really cool to see people do that.
It's funny you say get to that punch first, because I can't tell you how many times since just using this for a few weeks I've gotten to like make the comment and I'll read it. I'm like, damn it, god damn it.
You know, like, here's the beauty in that, because I do the same thing, but that's where the system really works, because you see that someone else made the joke first, and then it forces you to write an even better punchline.
Right.
So it totally, like, you know, you want to be the first one, the fastest to hit the punchline that, you know, a lot of other people might have the same angle.
That's true.
But if you wait a little bit, then you can it really forces you to dig deeper and have a more unique punchline. But I mean, either one is funny, so don't be discouraged by that.
No, but like it's funny you said that, because like even when we talked the first email, you wrote like something like, "Oh, digging your joke, blah
like
blah
the
blah
Batman,
blah."
Batman, David, Batman, Robin joke, right?
Oh yeah. I don't know. I forget what the headline was, but whatever. But like I said, you know, you're like, "How did you find us?" I'm like, "Oh, I heard about you." But I said, I think it's a really good tool for comics, just to keep that muscle going. Like I'm at work, my day job, you know, like, but like I take 15 minutes or 5 minutes and look at something, and if I could write one punchline, like, or sometimes you could throw up one of your new ideas and see if people like it, or, you know, it's kind of a good way to just a quick little exercise, like a bang, to keep that muscle going, to keep that writing muscle, even when you're not home or you're not in your normal like writing center or however you prefer to write. You just pop on and like, hey, maybe I make a funny comment, you know? Like,
yeah, no, exactly. And I think a lot of people, like, I'm a comic myself, and I convince myself, you know, I need to have, you know, like the candles lit and be in the right mood to do comedy writing. And it's just not
candles
just
lit,
not
huh?
You
candles lit, huh? A little weird, dude. A little weird.
He's a Liberace of comedy.
You know what? I love my comedy, so it's like this romantic approach where, like, I have to be in the right mood. I have to love it.
Is it loving your comedy, or is it loving yourself? Oh, yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah, you know, I'm on stage. We all I'm the youngest in my family. You know, someone has to love me.
How long has the site been up, and how much has it grown?
Site has been up since May of 2015.
So a year.
And it's grown, so we now are at our 7,000 people signed up on the site.
Wow. Right.
Really, yeah.
So how many – like, you go ahead. Sorry. How many guys – first off, where did you come up with the idea? Like, was it you and a couple guys, or are you just part of it? Like, I don't even know the background to it.
So the creator of the site, whose brainchild this really is Preston Gitlin. I'm sure you've seen him on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So I got connected with him. How long ago is this now? But in the beginning, I got connected with Preston. I was in the city, working with some comedy producer in the city, and Preston and I got connected through him, and he's like, hey, I have this great idea for this site where, I'll give you the backstory of like where this site comes from. Preston was in this international business program called INSEAD. So he's overseas in this international business program, and he's surrounded by all these different cultures, all these different people that, you know, their cultures don't agree with each other and their cultures are fighting, but everyone is brought together through laughter. And really the vision with it is, you know, how can we connect people all across the world in the best way? And that's humor, that's jokes. Everyone can share a laugh, no matter what you believe, whatever you're offended by. Everyone can come together over humor. And, you know, there's so many bad things in the world. Like, watch the news every day. It's depressing. So, you know, we really believe that humor and comedy is the best way to process those things and deal with those things. And we wanted a platform that was an escape from, you know, political rants or personal rants or baby pictures on Facebook.
Paul.
In the mix, and maybe a joke on those platforms gives.
Hey, Paul, hold on. Can you just say, start that sentence over? I don't know. You broke up and like we lost you for like 10, 15 seconds.
Okay.
I'll just edit it together.
So yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, where did I cut out?
You were like, we wanted a break from.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the deal with the site is, on all these other social platforms, it's a mix of everything, and jokes can get sort of lost on those platforms or misunderstood. So we wanted a place where when you come to Comedy Wire, you know it's jokes, and it's none of your like rants or no place to get offended or anything. It's jokes and humor and funny responses to deal with everything that's happening in the world, and to find people that share a sense of humor and connect with other people that you normally wouldn't have been connected with.
Wait, I get offended every day.
You don't make fun of things like politics, do you?
Wait, you don't do politics or like...
There are so many jokes about Donald Trump on the site. It's crazy.
I'm offended.
Like, yeah, I'm a harsh libertarian, and I hope there's none of those jokes up there.
Well, the cure is to just laugh about it.
No, wait, it's to get angrier.
Wait, that's you're telling me that we're allowed to laugh about things and maybe not take ourselves too seriously?
You know, that could be why this show ain't working so well. we use the term verbal shenanigans, and we're serious for an hour and a half.
Yeah, we don't make jokes at all.
Believe it or not, you don't have to write that 10-page blog article about why you're offended.
Wait, so you mean I could just shake it off and go on with my life?
What's crazy is that you don't have to write that open letter.
But like, Paul, so what do you actually do for the site?
Well, I'm the guy that
it's like nothing, nothing at all.
I do podcasts where I talk to guys.
I take credit.
So I'm like, as the community manager, I'm finding people that are really talented on the site. I'm reaching out to people, talking with comics, you know, moderating topics, jokes. You know, we do a lot of, I'm in some of the business meetings, you know, I'm more of the comedy side of things.
Right.
Yeah. So it's exciting, man. And it's growing too. It's cool to see people.
It's funny you say that. It's definitely know how I know it's growing. I've been on it for maybe 3 weeks or something like that, maybe a month max. And I've started to see people I know all of a sudden come. I'm like, oh, hey, I know him. Hey, oh, hey, I know her. Like, it's funny. It's like I'm starting to see a bunch of like Jersey comics I know. Like, hey, oh, hey, there they are. You know, like, so that's fun to see.
Cool to see people from like your own community join and kind of have your little sub communities on the site.
Yeah, it's a very cool site, and what I like about it is, it's not very like social networky. It's not really like
hey,
I don't know.
I'm an
like,
open micer. I really. Who's got a show?
Yeah, it's not like here's my show. Exactly, it's not like here's my show. Here's my podcast.
I got a bringer. I need like 8 people. Yeah. You guys available? It's on Christmas Sunday, but still.
Right, like to me, like if I like something, it's because I thought the guy's line was funny. That's about. That's like literally as simple as, hey, that was funny. Here's a like, you know, like.
Yeah.
And it gives you different ways to be funny. Hey, I could throw my own unique joke, like a tweet or something, up there. But I could all you give me like inspiration, like hey, quote this, or hey, make a funny joke about this, you know. And it's always like, hey, I should be able to make a joke about this if I want to be a comic. I can do this.
Yeah, no, exactly. I've the same way. I'm like, if I see a certain topic, I can't think of a joke right away. I'll just stay on it because like as a comic, like I should be able to craft a joke for that. Hmm. And yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways to make comedy. So we're really trying to grow that of, you know, there should be different verticals where people can make jokes, make funny responses, or you know, some people do memes. That's not as big on the site, but you know, the idea is how can we laugh about this stuff.
Have you had to deal with a lot of hacky material or somebody stealing material from something on TV?
There's some hacky stuff, of course, because it's since it's an open platform, there's just a lot of people that, you know, I think people that aren't as serious about comedy will often find the easy joke, and that's sometimes hacky. But the whole thing with the concern with like stealing jokes, we found that like it's a community mainly concentrated of people in comedy.
Oh, he went.
Concern and all have that respect. So we've really seen a lot of respect in the community and no joke stealing. I think, you know, every once in a while I'll see a joke that's one of those internet jokes that everyone has said for 10 years. But that stuff usually just gets ignored because it's a very democratic site. So if there's something, if there's a joke like that, it'll usually just float to the bottom and the original stuff really shines.
I was going to ask you about that. It's funny you brought that up. Like, I also find it as like almost like a timestamp too. Like,
exactly.
You know, like if I make a good joke, it's on there. Like I could be like, okay, so I do it. All of a sudden, Paul is, you know, posting it all over social network. All of a sudden it says, hey, on April 13th, Scott made this joke. You know, I could take a screenshot of it and be like, hey, you know, it's in some way, it's like a little bit of protection. It's like a receipt.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I know so many people are rushing to take my jokes. I know that. That's another thing. I could tell how many stinkers I have, too. I'll just throw out anything, and like I'm like, wow. Not one vote, nothing. You know,
nobody else thinks black people are crazy.
I've never heard that one before,
which is kind of good. Like I'm like, oh, okay, well, that one was stupid. But it's almost funny because you see everyone's kind of doing the same thing, just throwing shit out there. Like, all right, maybe it'll stick. You know, and every once in a while you get something you're proud of, sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul.
Go through the stuff that you're not that proud of to get to the stuff that's really good, but you just gotta constantly be getting out of get it out of, you know, creating it and putting it out there so you can get to the good stuff.
All right, so tell us about the badges. I've gotten some badges. I didn't even know what the hell they were. So tell.
Yeah, man. Do you like the badges?
I do like it. I didn't know what it meant. Also, tell us about the badges and tell us about. There's a little incentive for comics too. On the Gotham thing and whatnot?
Yeah, totally. So the badges are just a way to get extra recognition for how you, like the style of the joke. You know, if you had a particular angle that was extra special and stood out.
I forgot which one.
The badge is a way of like, hey, awesome job on that angle. Like there's the dark humor badge. So the dark's a little edgy. I mean, I love dark humor. I love stuff that's.
That's what I got. I got the dark humor badge.
Yeah. So it's kind of marking, you know, like you really nailed that perspective. There's a Jon Stewart badge, which is awesome. It's probably my favorite because he made a joke that was like, you know, social commentary, something that Jon Stewart might have said or taken on his topic. So it's just a way of rewarding people for really nailing a style of joke. And those are things we're going to, like all the badges you see now, that's, we're going to grow that and continue to think of more ways to create badges.
Is there a lot of pandering on the side? Just, oh, come on, that was good, man. I deserve X, Y, and Z.
No. Yeah, because that would just slow down, because it's not a joke. So people would just say, forget about it. Like, we're here for jokes.
Yeah.
You guys know about the Gotham contest.
Yes, that's what I want to get to.
Yeah, so we partnered up with Gotham Comedy Club, and the owner, Chris Mazzilli, just loves what we're doing. He's always looking for new talent, and he manages people too. So we partner up with them, and they have that show, Gotham Comedy Live, on Access.
Yep.
And it was just very cool. I don't know if you guys have watched it or been to it.
Yeah, we had Mike Gaffney on. He's been on the show. A couple people we've had on. But yeah, they've done it. It's a great show.
Yeah, great show. And so many comics, I've known from the city have like gotten their TV break on that show. Yeah,
It's cool how they do it too. Like, you know, like they bring in a well-known host, which is kind of cool, and then let the town shine. I like that. It's not like the well-known guy's the main feature. I don't know. It's cool. It's a cool twist on things.
yeah. It's amazing, and the comics on there are just phenomenal. You've seen some pros on the site. There's guys like Joe Toplin, J.R. Haviland, who was with The Daily Show since its conception, and a few other pros that are nominating 10 people for Chris Mazzilli, the Gotham owner, to pick someone for the TV show. So he's looking at people's tapes. Pros are looking at people's tapes. And this is just one contest of more we'll do in the future.
And that contest, the winners or nominees come from their jokes on Comedy Wire?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, not everyone is going to be a stand-up. A lot of people on there are stand-ups. But yeah, it comes from joke writing on the site. And, you know, the good thing about it is it's not just, oh, I'm going to write 100 jokes a day just so I can be at the top of the leaderboard and get the most amount of jokes. But it's pros really looking at, you know, who's got a joke writing style that has unique perspective and has a voice in it and really understands a good joke.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because, like, you know, like I can't get on the site all day and I see some people are on there voting for everything and stuff like that. I always wondered if that's like the way in or if they're actually looking at just like, hey, here's some good jokes.
No, yeah, and we have to focus on the jokes for something like this. We've done contests in the past where it's, you know, who's the top 100 people that have written the most jokes, so the top 100 people on the leaderboard that have the most votes. But those are for bigger events where more people can win. This past summer, for instance, we took the top 200 people on the leaderboard, and we invited them to a meet and greet event with Chevy Chase, Paul Schaefer.
Wow.
Who are those guys? Are they new comics?
Just some up and comers with a lot of potential.
They got like 2 badges, so we figure
you can meet a guy with 2 badges. You got 0.
they have a level 1 badge and a dark humor badge. Godfrey would have a dark humor badge.
Definitely.
So, Paul, like, real quick about you. So, you live in the city, right?
Yeah, I live out in Astoria, actually.
And you're a comic, and I'll do the crappy question. How long you been doing comedy?
I've been doing a little over 4 years now.
Okay.
I'm from Florida originally, and after college, I just moved up. I knew I wanted to do comedy. But I'd never done it before, and I didn't know what else I was going to do for a job or anything. So I just bought a plane ticket, flew up here, and just been hitting the ground running ever since.
Wow.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. It's been a wild ride.
One, I hope to see you sometime in the city. Maybe we'll meet up or cross paths or whatnot. But real quick, so where can people go to maybe get on the site and give us your own, like, a Twitter, too, if anybody wants to talk to you, maybe like, hey, what the hell is going on with this? Where can they go?
Yeah, sure. First, if you want to sign up for the site, write jokes, check out jokes, laugh at jokes, go to comedywire.com. It's easy to make a profile with your Facebook or email. Personal stuff, you can just go to my website, paulschistler.com.
You can go to personalstuff.com.
Personal stuff.
Go to my thing.
Go to personal stuff. Today I was at work and Diane didn't talk to me by the coffee machine. I was upset.
Yeah. She's giving me that vibe. And all. I don't know if it's sexual. I don't know if she's disgusted with me. I don't know.
I'm upset. I just picture, like, remember, like, Dee from Always Sunny when she gets caught on the tape and she's like, so I have a rash down there by my sexual parts, you know? I'm such an interrupter. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Interrupt with funny stuff. That's good. Yeah, man, that's it. Just that's the personal stuff.
All right, man. I'd love to have you back on, and let's get together when I'm in the city.
Yeah, man. Let me know when you're in the city. I'm at mics and shows all the time. So awesome. Love to connect with you guys.
Awesome. And again, that is comedywire.com. I highly recommend it. I've recruited my co-host here to get his ass on it, too. So
I'm technically on it. It's a matter of getting the timing to actually play with it.
It's a matter of the funny part. He's really he's been writing his first joke for 3 months now.
To cross the other side.
Paul, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks, nice. Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. All right. Fun-filled episode. All right, Berlo. So, yes, Comedy Wire. Your boys are back in the news.
My boys?
Yeah.
Would that be the fans of Philadelphian sports?
Yep. I'm sorry. We had a long text message thing yesterday.
Yeah.
In case you don't know, maybe I could play some. Why don't you tell about it? And I'm actually going to bring it up. I think there's some audio clips.
So the Flyers went into the Stanley Cup playoffs. They had a pretty hot stretch to basically get in there, and they're facing the Washington Capitals. Now the Flyers are the first Philadelphia team to make the playoffs in 2 years, so people are excited, but any smart fan kind of knows Washington is probably likely the team coming out of the East. They're pretty...
I don't think they will. You know why?
Because
they've been good for like 8 years now, and they always choke.
They do always choke. I mean, but looking at...
Rangers, too.
If you go on paper, they're likely the...
Oh, right. Paper, chalk, they're the pick. Yeah. Yep.
So, basically going into it, we should be sitting back saying... Hey, it's great we made the playoffs, got a great bunch of people that look to be future stars in the minor leagues. We'll be the team to beat 2 years down the road. So Washington whoops our butt in games 1 and 2 in Washington. Before game 3, Ed Snyder, who basically brought hockey to Philadelphia, I believe 1967 was the year, really built up the Philadelphia community. He was the one who kind of sat back and said, you know, we're in South Philly. There's really nothing in South Philly. We really have to build this up and make people want to come to these games. He was the one who built Spectrum, which was a famous stadium that the Flyers and the Sixers played in for so many years. He was instrumental in getting the Wells Fargo Center there. He was instrumental in Xfinity Live, which is a huge... Basically, it would be almost... The best way I can describe it was a very large sports bar across the street from all the stadiums, the Phillies, the Sixers, and the Wells Fargo Center where the 76ers and Flyers play. He passed away with cancer, had a long bid with it. So the first game they got back, they had a whole tribute for Ed Snyder, which also included a give out of bracelets that when they had their tribute to him would light up you know, in honor of the gentleman. They actually hung up a jersey that said Snyder 67 on it in honor of him. So a lot of emotions going into the game. In fact, in the first minute, the Flyers scored the first goal, and everybody was going nuts. Oh, my God, we got a chance to do this. Then the Capitals went on and scored five goals on the Flyers. After the fifth goal, Philadelphia became the stereotypical Philadelphia fan, if you will. And they started chucking all the bracelets onto the ice.
Hitting players.
Hitting players. And actually, it was one of the first times that they got a penalty for it. It's for, I forget what they call it. It was like delay a game or something like that.
Yeah,
it was like a 5-minute minor.
Yeah, it's like a bench penalty, it's called, something like that. Because your stadium is supposed to be, like, if it interferes in the game, you can get a penalty. Like, your staff and everything is technically like an extension of the team.
Yeah,
like,
outside of the throwing caps onto the ice for a hat trick, they pretty much don't mind. I don't know why they got rid of the whole octopus thing in
that.
Detroit.
Best thing, side story, best thing was like I watched that 95 Devils video 10 million times. Mm-hmm. That was my wheelhouse team. That was a team. You know, everyone's got that wheelhouse team, that team they followed every game, and they won, and it's just meant everything to you.
Yeah.
But the Devils were my 95 Devils, and I watched that video over and over and over and over again. Brodeur talks about when they beat the Red Wings, but when the octopus came out, he was hiding in the net, and he would try to, like, knock him away with the stick, and they're all squishy and would, like, squash on the ice. Yeah. It was funny.
That was just fun. And they did the same thing with, like, hat tricks, so it's... You figured they would just sit back and go, okay, this is just Detroit. We'll leave it as is. It's kind of like when NFL really cracked down on celebrations. They go, you know what? We like the Lambeau Leap. That's grandfathered.
Yes.
But so in any case, they start pelting the ice with bracelets.
Beers.
I think there was like a five – there was a good like 10-minute delay as the girls had to go out. The Flyers girls – they have, like, the shortest shorts on earth. It's still, like, the most masculine, ooh, look at their ass kind of deals.
Yeah.
And they had to clean up all this stuff. And basically put, as we talked about, I can't defend them.
There was even more. I can't find the story. There's even more to it. When they had a moment of silence for Snyder, they had people chanting, fuck Ovechkin, like, during the moment of silence. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, really? You can't put that aside for...
Yeah.
30 seconds?
The guy built hockey in
and someone died of cancer.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Come on. Put your... Whatever. This reminds me of... I went to USA-Mexico soccer game. It was Gold Cup final at Giant Stadium. And during the national anthem, like a million Mexicans were basically like booing during the United States and drove me nuts. That's mm-hmm. the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
Then the announcers pleading with them, like, please have some class, stop throwing things, like, we don't want this, like, I'm sorry, it comes, okay, booing Santa, throwing snowballs, kind of funny, you got an edge to you.
No, they threw snowballs at Santa.
Yeah, okay.
They mixed it up.
Kind of funny, but the booing Santa, yeah. You know, that rough place to go visit, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
You guys have taken it too far now.
Yeah, I mean, I've joked about it at times. Like, I go to the...
Right, you have a whole...
I'm
Philly,
a Redskins fan. Right. I go to the Eagles games. I get some crap. I mean, I get some guys who want... Or borderline, all right, you want a fist fight with me. But 90% of the time, it's like I walk over and somebody will come up to me in the Eagles and be like, oh, I'm so sorry you had to deal with that. And I'm just... And I laugh it off. I tell them, I'm used to it. It's cool. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm used to this, so it's, I mean, those kind of core fans, kind of like when I went to the Phillies-Nationals game last Sunday, we got seats, me and my girlfriend, and we actually walked around, chatted with a bunch of people. She wore her Mets stuff, and, like, the only thing that happened, which was funny, we went to Chickie's and Pete's in the stadium,
Chickie,
and they saw her with the Mets stuff, so I walk up to the line, and then they just grab the, I don't know, the kind of slider thing where they make you go around the maze, and they just saw her, they're like, nope. And it was a good laugh, and even when she came up there, we're all laughing. We're all...
Right.
It's ball busting. It's all good. And
like I've been to a couple, several Mets Phillies games in, I think two or three I've been to in Philly. And listen, I get some shit. Shit is fine.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also if you want to be the asshole that gives it back and acts like a maniac, you're going to get more I literally just laugh it up. I've been to Philly where I've talked baseball with the people next to me, like when we just kind of agree and stuff like that. But it's just when you have people doing this, it's sad because they're going to speak for the whole fan base, which we know is not like that. But you get that reputation, and it's terrible. I mean, Philly has had time after time. It's starting to get ridiculous now where it's like, okay, like – everyone's leaving, like when like everyone's throwing shit. Like I don't think I agree with the rule. Like you throw something on the ice, you got to be out of here. Like
you're gonna
someone's gonna get hit in the face with something, or someone's gonna throw something hard, you know, and that's the end of it, you know. So it's I you know, like I agree in that sense of the control part of it. Like my one friend I text, he's from Philly. He's like, oh, well, the ref was giving away the game, so they were showing their disappointment. I'm like, really, dude? Really?
Yeah, the ref gave away five goals. If it was 1-1 and the ref made an insanely stupid call, though I won't condone it, I could see the fans getting insanely pissed off and doing something.
Pissed off and booing and calling, chanting is all your right as a fan. Throwing shit at the players is not your right as a fan.
Like
in the end, they're people, man.
Yeah.
You're fucking throwing shit while they're working.
And I've always said this. I've had conversations. I always look at Philadelphia fans as very smart fans. Like, if you listen to a Philadelphia station, it's not just like, oh, this is the big name, we should love, I love him, blah, blah, blah. It's people, like, diving in statistics, getting point and counterpoint, like, really diving in with all four of the sports. And it just kills me when stupid stuff like this happens and you got to explain to people, no, 95% of us are a good bunch of people. It is the dumbasses out there. Like I said, when we were at the game, when we...
Hold that thought.
All right.
So, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry for you guys, but from someone who's not a Philly fan, it's starting to become like, really, Philly? Like, really? Like, again? You know, like, come on. Like, we get it. You can be a hard... You can be a hard place to visit.
Mm.
You can chant all you want. I think... Anything you say in the stands, whatever.
Fair game.
Fair game. Once you start throwing things on the ice and moments of silence and stuff like that, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example. When it was at the game, we were eventually in the 10th inning, me and my girlfriend were hanging over the bullpen, and the Nationals were warming up. Papelbon was warming up.
Mm-hmm.
But we were having more fun. There was their bullpen catcher, Octavio Martinez. This one guy was just chatting away with him for like 20 minutes. Octavio, I love you. The guy pitching to you is an asshole, but I love you, man. Octavio. And every once in a while, he'd give a thumbs up, and like there's 50 of us hanging up. Hey! Octavio, is the grass in there natural? Give me one for natural and two for artificial. And he's just pitching. He's getting 90-mile-an-hour fastballs, and all of a sudden, 6-1 figure. Ah!
That's funny, man.
We were having a blast with it.
Funny you say that. I know I've told this story to you, but probably not to when me and my friend Alex went to the Trenton Thunder game, and at that time they were the Boston Red Sox affiliate.
Okay.
Not the Yankees, before the Yankees bought them out. But David Ortiz was the first baseman, and we didn't know who he was, so we were right in front of him going, Ortiz, you suck. Ortiz, no, you're a garbage. Like the whole game, stuff like that. And then, like, literally, like, 1 year later, he was like, David Ortiz. Yeah. We know now, like, crack, crack, crack. Because, like, he went from the Twins, he got traded, and then he went to the Red Sox, and, like, I think went down the minor and came, like, became David Ortiz. So it's so funny.
Yeah, I remember when my uncle used to go to Trenton Thunder games and the kids would be able to get autographs. I forget if it's the Trenton Thunder or one of our other ones in New Jersey, but basically that was when Derek Jeter was in the minor leagues.
Thunder. That was Thunder too. That was,
And he would pretty much tell the kids, like the kids would be grabbing the players, you know, with the smallest amount of lines. And he's telling the kids, he's like, no, you want to get that gentleman's autograph. Mm-hmm, yeah. It's like, he's making six figures in the minor leagues. That's telling you something.
I went to the when Roger Clemens came back. Remember, he played. Mm-hmm. He pitched for the Trenton Thunder.
Yeah,
I went to. I bought tickets for like $40 or something like that. They were like, great. I at the time they were going for like $100. I wish I sold those things because it was mayhem going in. He pitched three innings, like two and a half innings, something like that, and it was like not worth it in the end. But I remember the spectacle around, like Roger Clemens is coming back, blah 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 blah. But the Philly thing,
it just sucks because it also add to it. Then like when we make the World Series or the Super Bowl, we're the ones hated. It's everybody.
Well, as you said, the image thing. Like I don't think the Phillies get it as much, but the Flyers and Eagles for sure. People think like
Eagles. I would say that because I would even say it was kind of split when New England was playing them in the Super Bowl, and nobody likes New England.
I didn't know who to root for on either. But the Flyers, like even though I talk to Ranger fans, like well, everyone hates the Flyers. They bring that like, you know, remember like the Broad Street Bully kind of. I think the fans think they're the Broad Street Bully. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's the old school memory. I mean, we still love all of our teams, and it's not.
Listen, you love all your teams, but the Sixers, you just they're like your retarded little brother.
Here's the thing: I would say all four teams are finally smarting up. You look at the Eagles. I mean, they're trading up. They're trying something to rebuild. They didn't stick around with Chip Kelly, so they're. Not sit back and going, no, we'll spend 10 years at, like...
They got Hotel California. That was a great song.
Yeah. I didn't know they played in the league. You look at the Flyers, I mean, they got a great minor league system. They could... I think they did everything right when they sat back and go, let's miss the playoffs for a couple of years, but we're going to get it. The Phillies, some of those trades are really coming out. Yeah, Vincent Vasquez... Looks
well, they're doing exactly to a T what the Astros did.
Yeah,
cleared 100% of the contracts and just held on to everything.
Which is ironic because that was a team we always traded our guys over to.
Yeah. You guys love the Blue Jays too. You always love trading with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, Blue Jays and Astros. They're just like, oh, you want our stuff, don't you?
Nope.
Who did I miss out? And the Sixers, they fired the same Hankey.
The Sixers. Yeah.
Well, they fired same Hankey, so they're pretty much telling the league, okay, we're going to actually attempt to be serious.
Problem with basketball, it's like if you don't get a top two pick every year, like
in theory, the Sixers did exactly what they should do. It's just sit back and go, I don't give an F for five years, and then we're going to keep on getting these number one picks, and then we're going to come out here and see what we can do.
Yes. But, all right, before we get out of here, bro.
All right.
Real quick before we get out of here, I want to show you a video.
Okay.
You don't like heights, right? Was that what you...
It's one of those things. I mean, flying, I don't mind, but, like, standing over an edge and looking down...
Listen, I actually like heights somewhat. This little video gives me the heebie-jeebies, like... it is just... Okay, so here's where the scrub was going. I want you to watch this and tell us your reactions as it's going.
I might have seen this one.
Yeah, you might have. But it's the guy on the Swagway or the Segway on the roof. God knows where. It kind of looks like Dubai or something in the back. But watch this and tell me your reaction. Mm. I can't even watch this without getting like, oh, my God.
Heebie-jeebie, yeah.
All right, here we go. All right, go ahead.
Okay, he's on the little Segway. He's... goes right up to the edge, and we see about probably 20 stories down. Now he's doing circles right by the edge. Now he's playing around going back and forth and doing circles.
On the edge of a building.
On the edge of a building, literally 5 feet, maybe 2 feet away from dying.
Maybe like inches.
Yeah. And he just, now he's doing a handstand on it and doing the same process, doing some circles. Yeah, he's kind of in the middle right there. I mean, he's smart enough right there. But
I can't deal with that. Only white people do that. Only white people do that.
It's true. It's true.
You don't see a black guy like, I'm going to spin around on the edge of this building. Like, fuck that shit. I ain't doing it.
You do a good black man. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I think you should go blackface on your next stand-up bit.
All right. Not right.
50-pointer next
year. Let's get to the end here. Right. So we did bring up the Phillies, Mike Berlow, before we leave. You got 5 more points.
Yeah.
On the Shenanigan Showdown. For those of you not listening, we challenge each other to a year-long competition where certain things have points. So 5-pointer, you earned one.
Yep, by getting Lenny Dykstra's autograph, a near $5 for once the greatest baseball player of his generation.
My favorite baseball player, yeah, by the way.
He was pretty much my favorite when he came over.
See, I don't like that. I don't like that we share a favorite player.
Well, in essence, we share a player, but in different forms.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I share the real... I like the real Lenny Dykstra. You like the Incredible Hulk,
yeah,
Lenny
Dykstra. The steroid, why is our leadoff batter have 34 home runs? Ah, forget about
it. Why is
the
guy who's 5'4 and has like a 130-pound frame 200 pounds now?
And then he got all quote-unquote business-like and screwed some people out of money, spent some time in jail.
That challenge was a gimme. That was a softball, dude. Like, just go get one because it's funny. But you could have got a Mets one at least to please me. I could have hung it up.
But I want to keep it. He was my hero, too. So.
Your hero?
Yeah. There goes my hero.
God, you have a lot of heroes. Steroids. The Duke boys. Bo and Luke, Lenny, you know, who else?
Don't forget Coin Vance, the Duke.
The guy, Nightmare on Elm Street guy.
Oh, Robert Englund. Yeah. Well, he's not my hero.
Oh, he's your hero. You're emulating him a lot lately. Berlow, what do you got to promote? Let's get out of here.
I'll just do my site, facebook.com/TheBurrows.
You're doing Walking Dead now, right?
721, doing Fear the Walking Dead.
That's what
I mean. Less of an audience, but I still... That's a story for another day. But, I'm still promoting it, and who knows? I'll be... eventually, with the Shenanigans Showdown, I'll be doing my reviews of Leprechaun movies, so keep up with me
dates. I think I'm only trying to inspire you. I think that could lead to different funny things for you.
Yeah.
So I will just crush your hopes and dreams soon.
But
I will promote... I got 3 things to promote, 2 for the podcast. One for me, I guess, on May 7th, I'm going to be at Greenwich Village Comedy Club hosting... Never been there before, so I'm going to host it up in New York. So if anybody's around, any of my New York buddies, I'm going to be hosting a Greenwich Village Comedy Club. So we got 2 dates for the podcast. I already promoted one during the weird break when Mike had the pee. That's May 22nd, the Verbal Shenanigans Comedy Show, number 5.
Right.
Ken Kranz, Kevin Israel, KP Burke.
Great lineup.
Okay, great lineup. But May 5th, and this will be out before May 5th, doing something a little different. We're doing the Verbal Shenanigans Comedy Trivia night.
Mm-hmm.
So all the questions will be funny. The trivia game will be kind of the same with our buddies from Trivia Revolution. Good sponsor of ours. So please come out to Hoover's Tavern in Morris Plains. And it's going to be a fun time. Come out and have a couple beers, chill, hang out with us, and we're going to try to have a good time. So I want to thank our guest tonight. I want to thank Derek, who taught us how to make drinks, taught us how to make zombies, and prescribed you a zombie.
Yeah.
Great man
who only went by one name, apparently.
Oh, Derek Schomer. I got that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul, here we go. Schistler from ComedyWire.com. Mm. But anyway, life is funny, people.
Yes,
laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Please keep subscribing at iTunes and Stitcher. Leave a review, goddammit.
And give us a badge on that site.
You would get the creepy badge.
Very underrated song.
Take care.
going to be a bit before we get to the hook.
I know. The hook came quicker.
Yeah.
But so, if you go back, Bill Perez on Time with Billy, episode like 17 or something, he just worked with the lead singer. He just recorded her new album.
In your head. In your head. They are fighting with their tanks and their bombs and their
goodbye, everyone. Brother's mic is turning off.